Hallelujah. Pick your Bibles and let me pick a text. And let me say something that will affect somebody's Christian faith. Every member of the church was to be told to forgive. That means you should know something about forgiveness. And that's why I'm picking my text from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading 1 verse 44. If you are with me, I will read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. The words of Jesus Christ himself. The words of Jesus Christ himself. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. And the topic we're looking at today is why you must forgive. Why you must forgive. Why you must forgive. And I have with me here 5 reasons why you must forgive. 5 reasons why you must forgive. And I say it's a teacher. And if you ever think you know this topic of forgiveness, I want to tell you that I thought I knew it too until the inspiration came for me to understand why a Christian must live a life of forgiveness. Take note that when you say you should forgive, it means it is established that you have been offended. You have been offended. If you have not been offended, then you will not be angry. Well, are you offended? Yes. Are you justified to react? Yes. Amen. You have been offended, and yet somebody, and then secondly, even somebody has declared himself or herself your enemy. He is your enemy. He is your enemy. Oh, amen. But he says you should love your enemy. So why must you forgive? As a Christian, first and foremost, as a Christian, it is because it is a commandment of the Lord. That's number one reason. It is a commandment. It's a commandment of the Lord. The attitude of the Christian faith. Listen, the Bible says, who is the Son of God? The child of God, the Bible defines the child of God as he who is led by the Spirit of God. And wherever he leads you, that is where you follow. And we are called to obey. We are not even called to reason. We are called to obey. It's just like the marriage. In a marriage between a man and a woman, the Bible commands the woman to obey the husband. Obedience is obedience. This is how he wants it. Therefore, I do it like that. You are a bad wife if you will want your husband, and you want to do things your own way rather rather than you doing it his own way. He is the factor, not you, in a marriage. And it's not about woman liberation or equality, gender equality or inequality, whatever it is. God designed it that way. No matter what, the woman still sees herself. God designed a woman as a weaker vessel. Weak in everything. Weak in everything. Everything. Weakness. That's why man must relate with a woman you have married with knowledge. Peter says so. But I'm looking at, the woman that is commanded to obey. I'm talking about proper setting, Christian setting. Proper Christian setting. We are called to obey. I told my wife some years back, for instance, when she asked me, if my friends asked me, why am I not wearing a ring? Why am I not wearing trousers? Why am I not doing like they are doing? He said, please help me. Which scripture I should use? What should I use to answer them? And I told her, you as a married woman, your case is very, very simple. Tell them this is how my husband wants me to be. You don't need the Bible. You don't need scripture. Hallelujah. This is how my husband wants me to be. He has commanded me to dress like this. I say, if he's a Christian, no. Because another man can command you to dress like Jezebel. I'm talking of a Christian. In a Christian setting. And so, when the Bible says you should love your enemies, for instance, when you are asked, why are you not retaliating? Number one is, my commander, my savior, my lord, my maker, my God has commanded me to love my enemies. That is why I am not hating anybody. Even that alone has settled it. But we are human beings, so we need to understand it better. Hallelujah. So number one is that it is a commandment, and this commandment are in the Bible. Maybe we'll do some reading of some scriptures. It's important that we read some scriptures so that you can also be established in this fact. Matthew 5, where we read, we have read that from verse 43 and verse 44, tells us that we should love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, this is the commandment. In verse 43, it says, you have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Jesus said, but I, Jesus, whom you are now following, your Savior, say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What should you do for them? Pray for them. You will know later why you should pray for them. I'll tell you why you should pray for them. But for now, it is a commandment. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 21, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6. Go back to the Old Testament. New Testament. Luke chapter 6 verse 27, 28 and 29. Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And verse 29. And unto him that smited thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. A very difficult one it looks, isn't it? But it is a commandment. Do you know, even in the Old Testament, where it is, do me, I do you. A truth for a truth. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. It's your enemy's animal. They should be happy that they are all dying one by one. Because of my prayer, they are dying. Holy Ghost fire. All of them. All the children go die one by one. For Romans chapter 12, verse 21. I am reading these scriptures for emphasis. I can as well just give them to you. But let's read them. See what the Bible is saying. What does it say? Everybody, let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3, go. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Say it again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is, don't give evil for evil. Give good for evil. Praise the Lord. These are the commandments. This is thus saith the Lord. And because it is commanded, I will keep that commandment. Why you must forgive, number two. According to the Bible, so that your own sins too will be forgiven. That is number two. And the Bible puts it in a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, this is the way the Lord put it. From verse 21. Listen to that parable the Lord Jesus Christ gave so that you will understand scripture. Why you must forgive. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till 7 times? How many times before I hit back, I strike back? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times. I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And it's not possible for one man to offend you like that. If he reached that stage, nobody man get problem, now you get problem. Therefore, now this is how the Christian life should be. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. His own that he was owing before was 10,000. Then there is one for just 100 pence. 100. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he will not, but went and cast him into prison because of 100 naira, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Is it because thou desirest, because thou desirest me? Because you begged me. You felt that you were crying that I should forgive you. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, he was angry, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Then he added, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Then you will understand Luke chapter 6, verse 36 and verse 37. He says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. I said, you must forgive. You must forgive so that your own sins too will be forgiven you. Because every one of us here, in our carnal setting, we offend God every day. We break God's commandment of righteousness every day. Some of us do very abominable things, and we still come before the Lord. And his mercy still continues with us. And he forgives us. And he blesses us. He answers our prayers. But he has a principle. That is what we want to emphasize this morning. God works by his principles. These principles, God himself is bound by these same principles. That is the interesting thing. He does not bypass it. This same principle that guide existence, God himself is bound by it. If you don't forgive people who hurt you, you too, your Father which is in heaven, praise God, will not forgive you. So before you come before God and you want your relationship with him to be normalized, or you want his wrath to be withdrawn from you for an abomination you have committed, for a sin you have committed, you committed it by omission or commission, before you even pray, begin to think, will God answer me? He will answer me even as I answer those who have offended me. It is a law. It's a principle. And so when he teaches his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 12. Where he was teaching his disciples how to pray. This is the way he put it. He told you how to pray, and he got to a point in verse 12. He said, and forgive us our debts as he will forgive you as you forgive. Hallelujah. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. Verse 14 and verse 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul repeated the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. Take note of these scriptures, go and study and meditate on them. This is how Apostle Paul told us as believers that we should put on therefore as the elect. Our identity is election, elect of God. We should put on holy and, we are not just elect of God, but we are also holy and we are beloved. That we should put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And verse 13, he said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So also do ye. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, it says, as you would that men should do to you, so do you also. Hallelujah. Do you even so to them. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. He said, this is the principle in the whole scripture. But this is the law and the prophets. Even that is the law in the Bible, in the Old Testament. This is how it was. It is what you give, you will receive. Praise the Lord. But the Bible said to the merciful, God will show himself also merciful. So that your own sins will also be forgiven. Why must you forgive? Number three. I told you there are five. So that your prayers will not be hindered. So that your prayers will not be hindered. It taught us through this principle in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. And when you stand praying, and when he says stand praying, including if you sit down praying or you lie down praying, I hope you understand. When you stand praying, anytime you come before the Lord in prayer, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And so he demonstrated it further. Remember, these are instructions of the Lord himself. In Matthew chapter 5, again, verse 20 to verse 24. Another instruction here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 to 24. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of old, of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Ubanka Shege, Babaye, Yaye, God punish you, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring thy gift, that's where I am going. If you bring your offering, even here today, to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother has ought against thee. There is somebody you are not talking with, you are not in talking terms with. There is somebody you are having problem that you have not settled. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Keep on one side first. and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That means there are some offerings you will put that you have wasted it. Can you imagine that? No matter the type of dance that follows that offering, God is looking beyond your dance. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Bible says, God heareth not the prayers of sinners. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 concerning husband and wife. Let's read it also. I say we should read it. It's for emphasis. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And see the way he put it there, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Two of you shall be one, and God will not listen to half. And the only reason that we made the two of you not to pray together is referring to a condition of disagreement. It's looking at not because your husband travel or he's sleeping and you are praying, so we must pray together. That's not what it means. Spiritually, you are supposed to remain united together. In your heart, you should not put away each other, because you and your wife can be seen physically, but in the heart you are separated. One has put away the other. And the Bible says God hates putting away. God hates it. And that is why when you are in that estate, you are making room, creating door for Satan to make your house an address. Because there will be no more fire in that house. The glory will leave. It's important you take note of this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Why you must forgive. Forgive your husband. Forgive your wife. Forgive anybody at all. So that you are in an estate where anytime you dial the heavenly number, there will be no network problem. When you call heaven, there will be no hindrance. There will be no voice that will tell you, sorry, your line has been blocked. Go and reactivate this line. And to reactivate it is to reconcile fast. Why you must forgive? Number four is that it returns peace to the heart. Anytime, if you're a normal person, and everyone that has the spirit of grace in you, and you are converted, the heart you have is now a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. I'm talking to you with a heart of flesh. You and I, you know that anytime you see somebody that has offended you and you are angry at him, once your eye charm him, there is a reaction inside of you. Am I correct? Well, let's be sincere now. We are human beings. It destabilizes your spirit, destabilizes your mind. Sometimes, even when you are thinking that you jam, you see, you will forget what you were thinking of before. And it lasts for some time before it will now fade away. And when you have that estate of mind, it destabilizes even your health is affected. Your blood pressure increases. Sometimes you even feel the pain so much, your chest, you have chest pain. Hallelujah. That's why you must forgive. Anytime you let go, you will find joy. You will feel as if a weight, a burden has been lifted away from you. But if you keep it, you are holding a load, heavy load, a burden. And maybe so many people have offended you, so you are carrying the load of so many people. Why you must forgive. Number five. I told you there are five reasons you must forgive. But we are going to dwell on number five for some time. The reason you must forgive, listen very well, is because in forgiving that person, you are actually dealing with that person. Because the Bible says you are heaping coals of judgment, fire on that person when you forgive. Now that is the principle. That's why I say it is a principle. It's a principle. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21 and verse 22, where we read earlier. Let's read it again. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 21 and verse 22. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. See the reason here. When you do that, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now the most difficult aspect of the Christian faith is the ability to imbibe the knowledge of God's principle for living. That is a major problem. Every commandment God gives you, it is for your own good. Every instruction God gives us is for our own good. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 and verse 20. Romans chapter 12. Listen. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place. For it is written, this is the reason, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This is Apostle Paul admonishing the church. The ministry of God, as far as we are concerned, is concerning vengeance. Leave him. It is his ministry. Vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance belongs to God. Don't leave your ministry and go and do God's own ministry. You will not do it well. You will spoil it. Your own part, as far as this matter is concerned, how to deal with the enemy, your own part is love him, continue to do good. When you do good to him, you are giving God now opportunity to do his own. Well. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.